Well, now, next month, Santa Claus is going to be surprising a lot of children and teenagers around the country with the latest versions of tablets, of smartphones and PCs. Delight for the children, but many parents are anxious that with these gifts comes unlimited access to the internet and indeed to some of the games that they may be playing. I'm joined now in studio by Elaine Burke from Silicon Republic, who has got some tips for parents on how best to keep children safe online. And I'm also joined from our Limerick studio by Leona O'Callaghan, who is a mother of three children and who has taken a fairly strict approach to limiting screen time in her home. Thank you both very much indeed for joining us this morning. Leona, I'll go to you first of all. I mean, just tell us, how old are your children?
I have three kids. I have a teenager, he's 14, I have a 10-year-old girl, and then I have a 6-year-old as well, so broad ranges, but I suppose it would be mainly the teenager that it's come up in conversations with them. There's been a few debates in the household with, you know.
And how have you handled it? I mean, I suppose first off, outline your concerns. What has bothered you about what your teenage son would like to do online?
There's three concerns I have. I suppose my main concern with a lot of the online games is we are entering a technology world, and that does come with some of the games have the ability to kind of chat online and they're interactive, so all the players are there.
Wouldn't know who he's talking to.
From a safety perspective, like, you know, we're gone very good at the real world, and you know, we wouldn't dream of leaving our kids in the park because, you know, it could be somebody of threat sitting on a park bench, you know, but that's not where they are anymore. They are where the kids are, you know. The kids are online, they're online, you know. So
that's your first concern.
That would be my first concern, who he may meet and whether he'd be able to actually handle that situation okay. The second concern I'd have really would be the amount of time that he'd spend on it. I think, you know, kids are very impressionable, and I just feel that they need to live in the real world, and it's very easy. We're all busy, a lot of our parents are working now, so it is very tempting to leave them do what they love, and they do love these games. However, it kind of makes them antisocial, and if they spend too long on the games, then they find it harder to interact in the real world. So I'd have very strict limits with the amount of screen time that they would have at home. And
thirdly,
it's the type of games. It would be taking real caution with the age limit. A lot of his friends would have games that I just won't allow.
Like what? Like, what are you talking about?
Grand Theft Auto would be a prime
example.
That's an
over 18s though, isn't it?
It is, but a lot of parents don't adhere to that. I suppose they give in to the pressure that the kids want it, and my son cried for it, and he's a teenager, you know, but
he's delighted to hear that.
But
basically, so you're saying that even though the games have got age limits, they're not being adequately enforced.
They're not,
kids
and it's
are
not
saying things they shouldn't
it's
be saying.
It's not that parents don't care, they just don't know. I had to do my own research before I made the decision. I was very tempted, like, you know, his friends genuinely had the game, and when I did my research, like, you can go into strip clubs in these games, you can witness a rape, you get points for torturing people. That's the world we're putting our kids into, and there's no way that coincides with me wanting to raise a very loving and caring character, you know. So for me, when I looked into it, I was absolutely shocked, and I don't think that parents that decide to buy it do it knowing that that's what they're surrounding their kids in for those hours, but it absolutely is. And for me, I can live with, okay, my mum was really strict, you know, when they're older when it came to the online stuff. I can't live with a change in their character so that they feel that's the norm.
So you basically limit the amount of time that your son spends online, and you also restrict his access to things like Grand Theft Auto or other similar over 18 games. If I can bring in Elaine Burke here from Silicon Republic. I mean, I suppose, Elaine, a lot of parents are concerned about the internet, but there is another side, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to teenagers, it's a lot more difficult because, I mean, you can say, oh, he's not allowed to have that game, he's not allowed to play that game. But if he goes over to his friend's house, if his friends have it, he's probably playing it in his friend's house. Like, that's just the reality of it. When I was a teenager, I played Grand Theft Auto. Actually, when I was even younger, I think I was probably about 10.
Really?
And that was when it was like a kind of bird's eye view type, very pixelated game. Not the way the game that it is now, but it still had a lot of the 18 plus content that it has now. My parents probably didn't know that. They probably just found out now, listening to this show. But it's a thing that happens.
But like, now my that you're older, would you be comfortable with
absolutely
your
10-year-old
self?
Absolutely not. It's not a game that's suitable for kids. But at the end of the day, the game was there in my house. It was on the PlayStation and I played it. And this is the thing. Like, you can restrict it in your home, but they might go to their friend's home and play it. Like, the reality of the situation is the access to technology is so broad and so vast for everybody, not just kids and teenagers, everybody, that to say that you can put these restrictions on it is kind of, you're deluding yourself. Like, what you really need to do is engage your kids and talk to them about what they play and why you think it's inappropriate. Like, I had my cousin's son was very he's under 10 and very interested in very violent games, so I had a chat with him, and I just, and this was really off the cuff, like I wasn't going in as an intervention, I was just chatting to him about the games that he plays, and I said, oh, do you know what you might like? You might like this game called Plants vs Zombies, which is really safe for kids of all ages and grown-ups as well. I play it, I think it's great fun.
You've given up the Grand Theft Auto, have you?
Yeah. That's the thing, I played it when I was younger, I have no interest in playing it now.
But that's quite a serious point. So you went in, you engaged with your nephew, and did you challenge him about the violence of the games he was playing, or did you just replace
Absolutely
them?
Absolutely not. I just suggested, I said, oh, do you know what's a really fun game? This one. I didn't mention anything about why he should play it over another game, and he became really interested in that game. Every time I spoke to him afterwards, he brought it up and he said, so, have you got to this level? Have you done this?
So I suppose what you're saying there is, rather than come down on stuff, it's do your research, get out there, equip yourself with the information you need, and provide them with age-appropriate games.
Yeah, like, the problem is everyone's aware of Grand Theft Auto. Everyone. There are hundreds of games released this year, and lots of them really age-appropriate for kids of all ages, but everyone just knows about Grand Theft Auto, the bad game, and that's why it gets so much great press, because everyone's talking about how bad it is, and like, that makes kids want to play it.
I know, people queuing up for the release of the next version of it.
Whereas there's great games out there, and the thing is, if you restrict their access to really positive content, really good games, you could be restricting their abilities to grow a skill set that will be really valid in the future. Like, kids are learning to code through games like Minecraft, and kids are learning kind of game development and storyboarding and stuff like that through engaging with story-based games.
And what age are you
like
talking
that.
From?
Well, Minecraft is suitable for all ages. It's basically an online Lego.
Now, so almost as soon as they can work the keyboard or the mouse or whatever.
Yeah, there are very young children that are very proficient on Minecraft, like really impressive. Now, the thing about that is obviously it's, again, games are different because there are contained versions of games, but then there's the online access as well. And I can understand if you don't want your kids chatting to strangers online with games, but that's why you need to be aware of how the game works, what way they want to play it, and kind of engage them and discuss why you think this is appropriate. These are the ground rules and this is how you can play that game. I have an 8-year-old niece who plays Minecraft, but she cannot play online and
Minecraft.
Interacting with other people. And she's
what
okay
about
with that.
The other concern there that, you know, children are spending too much time? I mean, I suppose the games are designed in order to keep people playing them. I've played them myself. They're addictive if you get into them. Is that a problem, or how do you deal with that problem, would you say, Elaine?
I think maybe that's a personality problem, because I know myself, I don't play I don't play games an awful lot because I know that I'll get obsessed with them and I'll just spend an entire weekend playing it. Like, I got a loan of Minecraft there off my niece, and she kept asking me, have you played yet? And I was like, no, I can't play it that often because I'll just get hooked and I won't be able to stop.
So what you've done to yourself then is you've limited the time that you allow yourself to play these games for fear of getting hooked. Is that what parents should be doing?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think the reason that I'm able to do that is because I have a consciousness that I shouldn't be spending all of my time obsessing over a video game. And maybe that's something my parents instilled in me.
Did they limit your screen time?
Not in a way that I can remember. And I think maybe that's why it was so constructive. Like, I never felt restricted. But I know that I didn't spend my entire life playing video, my childhood playing video games.
And yet
on the computer.
You've ended up with a career from
and
it.
And I did, yeah. And I mean, I learned from being on early social platforms, I learned how to do basic coding that way, because it was how you kind of formatted text that you sent in forums, or it was how that you redid your MySpace page back when MySpace page was popular.
What age were you then?
I was about 14. When
14,
I was
you were learning to code. Yeah. That's amazing. Leona, to go back to you on this, I mean, it's interesting listening to Elaine. I mean, would you be in agreement that really, I suppose, the genie's out of the bottle here? There's no way that you can entirely protect your children from things like Grand Theft Auto, that you need to talk them through it, to challenge them slightly on it, or indeed to replace Grand Theft Auto with better games. Is that something you do?
Absolutely, and I do. Like, I agree, there's loads. Like, my kids play Minecraft. I have no issue with Minecraft. It's a very intelligent game. It absolutely uses their skills. I do limit the amount of time that they're on it, like, you know, because they like that. They get lost in the game. They forget to go out with their friends. It's healthy to run around and all of that. And it is very easy. And it's just a sense of maturity that you need to be able to kind of pull yourself away from it. And sometimes when they are younger, they lack that. But when it comes to, I suppose, I have absolutely engaged with my teenager about what I'm worried about. But I suppose his interests are different to mine. And absolutely, it's something we talk about all the time. And I'll continue to talk to him about it. He knows why I'd be concerned. But at the same time, it's my job. It's absolutely my job. I can't take my eye off the ball and hope that, you know, he'll be all right in that surrounding. And you're right, I can't limit when he goes into somebody else's friends, but he's very aware that in my household, you know, it's not something that kind of sits well with my family, the kind of violence that's in those games, to the level it's in. Like, there's some games he has, there is violence, but there's some of them that's just OTT. So when he does play it, he's already conscious of, well, you know, there's something slightly that, you know, here that my mum doesn't agree with. And I think it gives him a different perspective rather than if it's in his bedroom for hours on end, you know.
Leona, can I ask you about forums? I mean, things like, you know, Facebook. There is an age limit on Facebook, is there? What is that, Elaine? What age do you have to be to get into it?
You can't be under 13 to set up a profile, but that's literally just a case of filling in the date.
I am over 13, yeah. So it's... would you allow your kids on Facebook, Leona?
They are, but again, I have a lot of restrictions on it. Like, if they get friend requests, they come through me. And I had to do that because, again, my teenager, his interest was making sure he didn't offend anybody. He didn't turn around and refuse somebody that might be a mutual friend of someone else, even though he's never met them. So I found that when I didn't limit it, he could add somebody. They're up on Facebook as 40 years of age. They have absolutely no ties whatsoever with my son. They're not a friend's parent or anything like that. Why would I allow him to be friends with somebody like that? So every friend request does come through me.
And how do you do that? I mean, are you a Facebook friend of your son's, or how do you monitor this, or do you just say,
it
listen,
comes through my email. Like when I set it up, it has to come through my email. So every time he gets a friend request, I'm not the person who decides whether he becomes friends with them, but I'm aware he got it, so I can later on in the week, like that, over a cup of tea or over dinner, turn around and say, well, you know, who's that, this person that added you and things. And I do feel that at 14, even though, yeah, a lot of parents out there, they don't know the friends that their children are on, but again, I would much rather my son be protected and kind of resent me a tiny little bit for being a bit sticky with it than to keep him in an environment where there's people seeing things like his location or things that he puts up there.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it is the worst fear most people would have about the internet. So, I mean, to put it in a nutshell, Elaine, really, you need to engage with your children. Mm-hmm. You need to set time limits. And in terms of forums...
Yeah, and just to go back on the time limits, a lot of the kids-type tablets that you can get, that they're probably getting for Christmas this year, you can set time limits on those tablets. So I'd advise to establish that. And yeah, what Leona's doing is perfect, to actually be on Facebook, be your kid's friend on Facebook, because you don't even have to have access to their email. You can see who they're adding as friends anyway, because that's what Facebook shares with the news feed and things like that. And there's nothing going to deter kids more than their parents being on Facebook to get them off Facebook.
Yes, I've known a few children set up new accounts in order.
That's the other thing. Be aware that they are trying to going to try and skirt around these things, so you have to still engage with them and build trust as well, because they're not going to evade you so much if they actually believe that you trust them.
All right, well, listen, we're going to leave it there. Elaine Burke and Leona O'Callaghan, thank you both very much for joining us this morning.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.